The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For more information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.
This message was delivered during Macedonia's 2017 fellowship meeting on February the 25th, 2017, during the Saturday morning service. Sermon by Elder Joe Nettles, with text from Isaiah 50 and verse 1, with a sermon pointing us back to our origin, from whence you're hewn.
I can tell you what, if we're not preaching practical duty with just that much Jesus, then we need to stop preaching it. Because I tell you what, if you take Jesus out of it, it's a dry husk. But man, when we are able to see our obligations and duties in the light of Jesus Christ, they become a lot less obligation and duty and a lot more pleasure. Amen. And so very thankful to be here with you today. Thankful for that good preaching that went on before in both cases. Brother Bobby, I was rooting for you to forget the time there, but you're a lot more regimented than I am. I tell you what, I could feel your pump was getting primed. I was praying for you. So glad to be here with y'all today, and go with me to Luke chapter 20. I'd like to share some thoughts that have been on my mind, and I hope and pray that the Lord would bless us in this. In Luke chapter 20, we'll begin in verse 1, read a few verses. And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders and spake unto him, saying, "Tell us, by what authority doest thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority?" And he answered and said unto them, "I will ask you one thing, and answer me." You see, my friends, we're told to answer a fool according to his folly. So basically, and I'm paraphrasing, so that we don't leave without an answer being given. But we're also to be careful to not answer a fool according to his folly, lest he, you know, despises the things that you have. We're not to cast our pearls before swine to an extent. But my friends, again, we have to live in this life with fornicators and adulterers and all those around us who are unsanctified. We still have to live in a militant way, on the field running while we live here. So here he says, he answered appropriately. Of course, he's God and he's perfect in every way. He said, "I will ask you one thing and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men?" And this is where the politicians in them kicked in, okay? Right. Right. It said, "And they reasoned with themselves, saying, 'If we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then believed ye him not? But and if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet.' And they answered that they could not tell whence it was." They could not tell whence it was. I want to talk to you today about where, from whence something has come and the importance of that. You see, Jesus Christ, he answered them. He gave them a retort based upon the authority that he had been that had been vested in him of the Father. The authority that he always has had as the eternal Son of God. And he said, you know, from whence did that baptism come? Now, I want you to trace it back to where the beginning of it was. And that's very important. Identify where the authority for that baptism came from. And I tell you what, that tied them up. Because they knew that if they denied John's baptism, the people would want to stone them, okay? But they also, if they affirmed John's baptism, they knew that John's baptism was authorized of God in heaven, and this is the one whom John had been pointing to and saying that the latchets of his shoes I'm unworthy to loose. And so I want to focus on that, tracing things back from whence they came. And if we can do that, my friends, as we study the Bible and as we relate to people, it's very important that we're able to recognize the origin, that we're able to recognize the very root, the crux of the issue. Because if you don't have some framework by which to study the Word of God, and if you're not looking from whence something originated, you'll be as confused as a football bat. I mean, it just won't make any sense to you, and you'll enter off into all kind of doctrinal problems, issues, and unfortunately, untruths, whether knowingly or unknowingly, it makes it rife for that. Right. So let's look at that. I mean, we see some examples of this. You can go over to Joshua chapter 9. And in Joshua chapter 9, here Joshua's leading the Israelites into Canaan's land. And they had defeated Jericho, and eventually they had defeated Ai. And they were told when they entered into that land that they were to make no league, no covenant with any of the people of that land. They were to destroy them. God had already told them, up, take the land. I have provided it for you. But what did they do? Well, the Gibeonites, they were smart. I mean, you can't blame somebody for self-preservation, can you? No. You know, they were smart. They said, well, we know that they are here to drive out the people of the land, and we live here in the land. In effect, they were just over the hill. But they said, well, what we'll do is we'll put torn clothes upon us. We'll put ragged shoes on our feet, moldy bread as if we just got it out of the oven. And now it's so old it's molded, and dry, crusty wineskins that look like they've been holding water and such for a long journey. And we'll go unto them. And you know what they did? They went, and Joshua and the leaders of the people, instead of inquiring of God, the Lord God who had led them, the Lord God who had provided for them, who had spoken to them, the Lord God who had always been there for them, what did they do? Their first response was not to go and seek the Lord's counsel, because he'd been amply giving them counsel. Their first response was they just looked at the wineskins, and they looked at the moldy bread, and they looked at the shoes. And they said, well, we'll base everything we know about this situation on what we can see. Brothers and sisters, y'all be careful of basing your faith on what you can see. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're told we walk by faith, not by sight. Somebody says, well, there's only a few people left in the church. The church has no hope. No, my friends, you stop walking by sight and you walk by faith. Right. You just trust in the Lord. Say, Lord, thy will be done. I will do as actively as I can, and I trust in you, almighty Lord, thou who art the author and the finisher of my faith, that you'll give for us what we need. Right. My friends, our calling is just do the best we can. Amen? Mm-hmm. It's the Lord who adds to the church. Amen. All right? So we just carry on in that say. Stop looking at things by your sight and start walking by faith, and I guarantee you it's an adventure that you'll never get tired of, walking by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, they based what they had upon those crusty shoes and clothes and moldy bread, and they made the wrong decision. They did not look at the origin, where they actually came from. Otherwise, they never would have. And then what did it cause? Oh, sure, the Lord blessed them bountifully to destroy those confederation of lands that came against the Gibeonites. They were obligated to do so because covenant had already been made. But my friends, men lost their lives among Israel defending them. And then they were burdened with the Gibeonites as servants and hewers of wood. So you see, that's very important. Another example. Look at how important it was. And the Jews knew this as well as anyone. Looking from whence the origin is. Well, the lineage of Abraham. You know, they were continually looking at the lineage of Abraham. Now, they were right to do that because promise had been given through the lineage of Abraham. Now, brothers and sisters, if you go in that Old Testament and you read all of the covenants and the reiterations of that covenant that was given to Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob and then to the 12 tribes of Israel, notice you will never one time where God says, if you'll do what I'm telling you to do, I'll give you heaven and immortal glory. You don't find it one time. He didn't say one time, if you'll do what I'm telling you to do, I'll keep you out of a burning perdition in hell. No, never one time. But what he did promise them were great, manifest, bold, temporal blessings, right, that they walk after God as their king. Right. And my friends, you're here today enjoying those same covenant blessings that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and the 12 tribes of Israel had right to. But the thing is, we're able to enjoy it a whole lot greater. Amen? Because we've seen the fruition. We've seen the completion. We've seen the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. And we know, my friends, whom it is that we walk after. We know who it is that's going to carry us to glory one day. You see, they were continually looking at the origin, tracing their lineage back. But I'm so thankful that we have a God that he said, oh, my friends, he said, I'm able of these stones, right, to raise up children of Abraham. Right. And my friends, that's what he did for us. Amen. That's what he did unto us. So see, looking from whence something originates is very, very important. You know, I don't know everything I'd like to know about church lineage, Baptist church succession. But some people have gotten to the point of saying, well, you know, if we want to start a church, we'll just buy a little storefront and we'll open a church. And brothers and sisters, it's not popular in this day and age, but that won't fly.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, in Ephesians chapter 4, we're told one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Right. You see, we're told that there's one church, my friends. There is a pillar and ground of the truth. Now, I'm not trying to unchurch people from the victorious, elect church of Almighty God. But I will say this. When you're looking at the militant, visible, recognizable church, it's important that you not despise the fact that you can go in a succession of churches right. all the way back until the days of Jesus Christ and the apostles. My friends, He is the chief cornerstone. My friends, it's upon those 12 apostles that those great gates of that city of Jerusalem, as we see in Revelation, were based upon. My friends, we're on solid ground. Amen? Why? Because we're able to go back and look from whence we came. Oh, talking about Abraham makes me think about over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 51. I see there's a clock back there. Y'all just bear with me and pray for me. I tell you what, I just felt like preaching today. I hope and pray the Lord will bless me to do some of it. Over in Isaiah chapter 51, notice now, here the prophet Isaiah exhorts the covenant people of God and says, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Ye that follow after righteousness and ye that seek the Lord." You see, brothers and sisters, there was among Israel a people that weren't Israel. Isn't that what Paul told us in Romans chapter 9? He sure did. He said, "They are not all Israel that are of Israel." But here the Lord, through this prophet, is addressing the true Israel among Israel. Why? Because he said, "These are following after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord." What does it tell me if one is void of the Spirit of God in their hearts and souls? It tells me, my friends, that there is none that doeth good. No, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after righteousness. There's none that seeketh after God. Brothers and sisters, here he's addressing a people, and this knows what he says. "Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn."
Right.
Look unto the rock. Yep. That reminds me, oh, those angels, those disciples said, "Come and see the place where it was laid." You know, we need to do that every once in a while. We need to stop and realize that he inhabited a tomb that should have been filled by a mortal man. And my friends, he who was perfect in all of his ways, high, holy, exalted, my friends, he inhabited that tomb for us. And he has overcome death for us as well. Look from whence you come. He said, "Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn."
Right.
Brother and sister, I want you to realize today, you and I are imperfect. You and I are imperfect. I get up with a different pain every day. You know, if I was perfect, I could drink as many Diet Mountain Dews as I'd want. But I'm having problems now. I'm cutting down on the Diet Mountain Dews. I'm down to one a day. I'm not going to give up that one a day. I'm sorry.
Amen.
But I tell you, I don't need to drink six or seven a day like I was doing. I feel so much better now that I've gotten away from them. But I enjoy that one a day. See, if I was a perfect man, I'd just drink as many as I wanted. Everything would be fine. You know, when I was a young buck, I could do that. Now I'm old and crusty. Can't do it anymore. You see, brothers and sisters, I'm not the way that I want to be. But I can look unto the rock from whence I'm hewn. Amen. I can look unto Jesus Christ, the rock of ages. Deuteronomy 32:4 said, "He is the rock. All of his ways are perfect." Brothers and sisters, the God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. I can look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, and I can realize something, my friends. I can look into the word of God. It tells me, "As a light that shineth in a dark place, whereunto you do well to take heed, my friends, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart." I'll tell you, when I go to God's word looking through faith, though I'm so faulty and failing in so many ways, I can feel the day star rise up in my heart one more time, and I'm able to see, you know what, though I'm so fallen and I can't drink all the DMDs I want to drink, my friend, I'm hewn from a rock, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, it does me good to look back and see from whence I come. And I want you to say, he said also, "You look unto the hole of the pit whence ye are digged." Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what, I ain't perfect now, but I thank God I ain't what I have been. Amen. I'll tell you what, there was a pit of this earth. You know, where's a pit? It's dug in the earth. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, I have borne the earthy. I have borne it, and it has burdened me. And even years ago, before I even love the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, the Lord lifted me up out of a pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings and put a new song in my mouth. I'm here to tell you it does me good to look back and see the depravity that I've been lifted out of, that he has delivered me from darkness and translated me into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Oh, it makes me happy to look back from whence I have come.
Amen.
And I can't take any honor and glory for it. I'm here to brag on Jesus and Jesus
Amen.
Alone. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
Amen.
I love coming to the Old Baptist Church because folks are going to glory in the Lord. I got you were getting your pump prime this morning, Brother Bobby, because you were glorying in the Lord. I'll tell you what, it makes me happy. It makes me so happy to look back from whence I've been brought.
That's right.
And he told them, look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bare you. He said, you know, you're looking back and see from whence you've come. This man that was in Ur of the Chaldees, this man who was burdened with heathen worship, this man that I called when he was ignorant of me, this man that I brought forward, this man that I led, this man that I established, this man that I've made to be just father, just an exalted father. Father unto the father of multitudes. He said, you look at what I've done for this man. Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, it's wonderful to look back and see from whence the origin is. Now, if we're going to interpret scripture, you know, there's another example that's really important. Look at creation. Now, somebody may say, Brother Joe, you're always talking about creation and the creation, things of this nature. Brother and sister, if there's ever a time we needed to bear down on it, it's now. You hear me? If there's ever a time we needed to bear down on it now. Because people are saying this earth was not created. People are saying man was not created. Brothers and sisters, if you don't go back and you don't get the right origin, brothers and sisters, you'll lose all the power of Jesus Christ. Okay?
Yeah.
And what do I mean in that? I mean, if you don't realize that men were created after the image of God.
Right.
You see, brothers and sisters, we're not just bacteria that flagellated our way up onto the mud and turned into a monkey. No, my friends, we were created after the image of God.
Right.
If you don't believe, go back to the creation, then you don't believe in the fall. From that perfection in which we were created. If you don't believe in the fall, my friends, why is there any need for salvation if you're only doing that which you were created or accidentally came to be to be? You see, it's all the devil trying to fight against the Lord. They don't want you seeing that you were created after the image of God. They don't want you seeing that you have fallen. And brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, they also don't want you to see that you have dominion over the creatures of the earth. They want you hugging trees and singing kumbaya and want all of you to be vegans. And I don't have any problem with somebody being a vegan. That's a good, healthy way to live if you do it right. I have no problem with that at all. But I'll tell you what, if you're going to be a vegan, you do it according to the truth of the Lord's word. Amen?
Amen.
You don't throw away truth to do that. You can be a vegan and honor the Lord just like I can eat a steak and honor the Lord if I do it the right way. Ain't it great to be able to pray over a big old steak and say, Lord, I thank you for this right here now, Lord. I'll tell you what, that's good news. We have dominion over those creatures. But you see, if you don't go back from whence, if you don't look at the origin the right way, again, it's all destroyed. It's all destroyed. It'll be destroyed in your heart, mind, and conscience. It won't destroy one iota of what the Lord's done. But in your understanding and the power of it, it'll be decimated. You see? You go back to the beginning, and the beginning is, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, you see? And then you'll be on good, good, solid ground. Let's go to a few places real quick. Is that clock correct?
Yes.
It is, okay. All right, very quickly. And if you don't have this mindset, again, like I said, things won't make sense to you, and you'll come to the wrong conclusions. Our brother quoted from Isaiah, read from Isaiah chapter 43, I believe it was. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 43 just for a minute. Very briefly, I'm going to bring a few things to your mind. Notice this dreadful description in Isaiah chapter 43 of a people. Dreadful. Let's start in verse 22. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. But thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. So the way you've behaved yourself, you've been tired of me. I've worked with men who got tired of their wives, and wives who got tired of their husbands. And it's one of the most sad, pathetic things I've ever seen in my life. Brothers and sisters, how in the world could someone get tired of the Jehovah God? How could someone behave in such a way as to weary Him, to grieve the Spirit of God, to quench the Spirit of God day in and day out? I know it happens because here it's happening to this people. Now somebody may say, well, Brother Joe, this must be describing some kind of hell deserving. They're going to bust hell wide open one day. And just read. He said, thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. He said, the things I've given you haven't been too burdensome for you to do.
That's right.
Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. My friends, don't tell me that your sinfulness doesn't grieve the God of glory. I'm telling you, you can't disrupt Him. You can't confuse Him. You can't overwhelm Him, but I'll tell you, we can grieve Him.
Yeah.
He said, thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. Oh, that people right there, they're just going to be crispy for eternity. But my friends, that description is sandwiched between from whence they came. Look at verse 21. This people have I formed for myself. Is he dependent on you to help him? No, my friends, he's formed a people because he is who he is, because he's worthy of having a people, and he will make them exactly what he determines them to be through his eternal counsel and purpose and will. That's the Lord we're here to worship today. Amen. He said, I have formed myself. They shall show forth my praise. See, people get deluded in thinking that if you're not showing forth the praise of the Lord here, then there's no way you could be pleasing to Him. Brothers and sisters, I believe everyone that's born again of the Spirit of God, whether it's just in meditation, I believe to some extent they will give honor to the Lord. You may never see it. I may never see it. But brothers and sisters, let's be real. If none of us ever walk by faith in this life, I can guarantee you at that last day when the skies are rolled forward and the Lord comes down from heaven and He calls His children forward, they will rise to meet Him in the air. They will meet the One who has shouted with the voice of the archangel, and they will be conformed brightly to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ and will worship Him forevermore. And if we've never had faith down here, I'll tell you, as the ages roll on, in timelessness, we, my friend, shall show forth His praise.
Amen.
Because of what He's done.
Right.
I'm just thankful to be able to do it in an imperfect way down here while I live.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
They shall show forth the praise. And then look at the end of verse 25. I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Oh, brothers and sisters, it's important to look from whence you came. Amen. What's the starting point? The starting point was, even though this people had gone astray in rebellion, their starting point was they were already a people prepared for the Lord. They were already a people that had been called forward to sing His praise. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 44, and we're going to read a verse over there, Isaiah chapter 44. Notice what he says over here. Verse 21, remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. From whence did they came? From whence did they come? They came from a very special place. Amen. I'll tell you, their sins have been blotted out. Their sins have been blotted out. Not in their minds. They were living in rebellion. But as far as God the Father, in covenant blessing with Jesus, who would cover their sins, my friends, He saw no blot nor blemish in Israel. Oh, that's what Balaam was made to prophesy in the days of Israel of old. Balak wanted him to curse Israel. But he said what? He said, the Lord sees no spot in Jacob. Oh, Jacob was full of spots. But I'll tell you, as God saw them, He saw them with no spot and no blemish. He said, I'm sorry, I got back on 43. He said, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions and as a cloud thy sins. And now, because of what He's done, what does He say? Return unto me.
Right.
You see, from whence did they come? Where was their starting point? out here in hellfire, damnation, or whatever, in this context, he said, you know, you've already been brought unto me. You are already a special people unto me. I will blot out your transgressions. I will not remember your sins. But, my friends, if they're going to return unto the Lord, I can't return somewhere I've never been. Amen?
Right.
I can't return somewhere I've never been. From whence did they start? My friends, they started in the covenant-keeping God, and I'll tell you, he'll never lose one of them.
No.
Jesus Christ in John chapter 6 said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all he hath given me I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day.
Right.
My friends, look at the rock from whence you are hewn. Examine the pit from whence you're digged. Okay? We go over to Luke chapter 15 real quickly. And I know it's almost time. Luke chapter 15. I'm keeping an eye on that watch. And I do appreciate clocks in church houses. Preachers appreciate that. Now, some don't. But I do, because I sweat too much to wear a watch. So I appreciate the clock. I really do. In Luke chapter 15, we're going to read about one that behaved himself foolishly and went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. He sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. That's mighty glow for a Jew boy, ain't it? Down there with the hogs, being willing to eat what the hogs have left behind. Now that is sorry. That is a sorry state to be in. And when he came to himself, does it intimate that he came to God? No, my friends, he came to himself. He already had sweet counsel written in his heart. He already had the lineage and the DNA, as it were, and the resemblances of the Father dwelling in him. And said, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger out here in the hog pen of this world. He said, I will arise and go to my father. From whence did he come? He came from the Father, my friends. He was the man's son when he took his inheritance. He was the man's son when he squandered it in riotous living. He was his son even when he was slopping the hogs. He was his son when he made the journey back. He was his son when the father ran unto him and fell upon his neck and told him, put that robe upon him, put the shoes on his feet and rings on his fingers, and let's kill the fatted calf. My friends, I love to feel like my Lord has come and embraced me in his arms. I love we sing that hymn earlier. I hold my Savior in my arms and will not let him go. Brothers and sisters, I love living like that. But I've been down there in the hog parlor.
Yeah.
But brothers and sisters, as the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, he said, and because ye are sons, not to make you, but because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Amen.
I can tell you what, this profligate, prodigal son, he was the son when he left, and he was still the son when he came back.
Right.
From whence did he come? Where did he start? Go with me to Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, we're going to read about, real quickly, about the parable of the sower. Brothers and sisters, over in the, you know, all the parables of the Lord are very important, but the Lord Jesus Christ, over in the account in Mark, I believe it's Mark chapter 4, if I'm not mistaken, over Mark chapter 4, he said, and know ye not this parable? How then shall ye know all parables? So it's pretty important to me. It seems like a little added gravitas and weight to this parable that you need. The Lord's saying you really need to understand what's going on in this parable.
Right.
So when we look at this parable, brothers and sisters, we're going to see something. Now here he gives the interpretation. We're going to, for time's sake, go to verse 10. And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Now that word of God is the gospel, my friends. That word of God is the gospel that we preach out of the holy word of God. In this context, word of God means the Bible. It means the truth. It means the gospel. He said, now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word before it gets into their hearts. No, it does not say that. It said the devil came and took the word away out of their hearts. Now, brothers and sisters, I know there's been a great bit of interpretation, different spectrums among the Primitive Baptist Church, and I'm not going to be dogmatic about this, and I'll agree to disagree with some men if they want to run this as only the fruitful ones being children of God. I'll agree to disagree with you in love, brothers and sisters, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm the one standing here preaching right now, and I'm going to tell you what I believe about it, that every one of them had received the Word of God.
Amen.
Every one of them had received the Word of God. That wasn't the issue. The issue was their state after receiving the Word of God. This Word of God was a seed that had been taken out of their hearts. I believe here he's most immediately referring to the Jewish nation in his day that were on the verge of being judicially blinded. They had not turned up their fallow ground. And my friends, they had not been living in anticipation. My brothers, from whence did they come? That so word, it found a place in their hearts. Mm-hmm. But in one place he said, you know what? Ye did not receive the word. He said, ye heard it and believed, and ye did not receive it so that you might believe.
Right.
You see, that was a dynamic in that day. They had the spirit to understand the gospel of Jesus and understand him as the Messiah. But the thing is, their fleshly part wouldn't have him. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But brothers and sisters, from whence was the beginning state in this? The seed was in their heart. My friends, you see, if some, Acts chapter 2, they heard the preaching of the gospel and they were pricked in their heart. If something pricks you in the heart, it means it's in your heart to prick you. But there were some that heard the preaching of the gospel, especially in the days of Stephen, when they were cut to the heart.
Amen.
You see, something cuts to the heart, it tears up bone, it tears up muscle, it tears up vessels, it tears up all manner of tissues, and when it gets to the heart, it stops. It's painful, it makes you mad, makes you angry, but it's something from the outside that never gets in. Brothers and sisters, I'm thankful I've been pricked in the heart.
Amen.
By the truth of Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, I believe these had too, but the problem being, we can all lose sight. We can all lose our way. We can wind up going out on that broad way that leads to destruction. The Apostle Paul said, I keep under my body,
right,
lest at any time when I've preached to others, I myself have become a castaway. You see, that discipline is needed. It's not a point whether the gospel has ever touched your heart, give you that tingly feeling of wonderful heartburn that says, oh, is he talking about me? The question is, what did you do when you recognized it?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, and I think you can see from whence these people came. We go over to, let me see where I want to go. I want to close with one thing. Y'all just pray for me here just for a minute. I think y'all been praying for me, and I appreciate it. Chapter 18 of Matthew. Chapter 18 of Matthew, I want you to understand here, he is giving one after another exhortation to practical sanctification and discipline in this earth. He tells you that though there are many that are going to go into a place with both legs, as it were, they're going to go into a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. He said, you don't need to envy them. My friends, you need to just be able to enter into life, halt, and maimed. And by that, he means that if something offends you, if your right eye offends you, pluck it and cast it from you. You see, that's active choice on our part. That's active discipline, you see. And that is the theme throughout Matthew chapter 18. But then we see in Matthew chapter 18, he said, verse 10, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Now he coupled that together with you despising them. My friends, if you despise them, can you affect their eternal end? No, you can't. We know you can't do that. But I can tell you what you can do. In Matthew chapter 23, he condemned the Pharisees and the scribes, said, ye would not enter into the kingdom, and those that would have entered in, ye hindered.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you can hinder people in their discipline and their discipleship and their growth and their joy while they live here in this life. Amen. He said, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray?" Notice that, one of them be gone astray. Let me stop there. In the sense of redemption, what we read about the Word of God, how God redeemed the people, were some of those people still just didn't fall in Adam? Did some of those people say, "Lord, we're still here with you"? You know, no, my friends, that may be two-seedism, but it's not the truth. In Romans chapter 3, in Romans chapter 3, it said, "We have all together become unprofitable." You see, all of mankind fell.
Right.
All of mankind fell together. There weren't some that were reserved and said, "Well, I didn't choose to fall in Adam," although some people think you've got to choose to be in Christ. Hey, you know, nobody would rightly say I had to choose to be in Adam. But here, my friends, there were some that went not astray. Is this speaking of eternal redemption? Or is this speaking of an experience while you live here in the rocks and the rills and the mountains of this world? Here he said, "How think ye if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray? Doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray." Does that mean in heaven he's going to rejoice more over a small portion of people than he will the largest portion of people? No, my friends. We can see this is not talking about eternal redemption. But brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what it is talking about. I believe it's giving us an exhortation that we need to be careful not to despise little ones.
Right.
And what's one of the greatest ways we can despise them is that when they need to hear the truth of the gospel of grace that we have in the Primitive Baptist Church and we don't share it with
Amen.
Them. When we don't go out with that spirit of having that dogged desire to see every one of our friends and kindred Amen. Fed and rejoicing and exalted in the good news of the finished work of Jesus Christ, but we sit in the sheepfold and say, "Well, I can do without one." My friends, we can't have that attitude. We need to be like that shepherd. We need to be like that woman who had 10 pieces and lost one, and she swept the house and rejoiced when she found it. God help us to publish the Word of God. I can tell you, we're trying to preach on the radio. We're trying to preach at the hotels. We're trying to preach at the churches.
Amen.
Brother David and I, we're trying to preach. And we're not doing it alone. We got y'all's prayers. Amen?
Amen.
We've got your prayers. But it can't just be the preachers, my friends. It's got to be you too.
Amen.
And we need to have, if we believe in time salvation, if we believe it's a salvation that's affected by time, then we need to use the time, redeem the time,
Amen.
And do what we need to do.
Amen.
You see, that sheep had gone astray. But where was he if he was able to go astray? He was in the fold with the shepherd. Brothers and sisters, you go to Matthew chapter 25, and you're going to find that there are 5 virgins over there, they're foolish. Now, somebody may say, "Well, they never were children of God. They never did have spiritual light in life." But I want you to go over there and read what happened to their lamps. Their lamps had gone out. Which means what? Something can't go out unless it's been lit. They ran out of their oil. Why? As a judgment, because they were not following the Messiah when he came. Brothers and sisters, the same thing can happen to us. But it tells me at the beginning of that, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. From whence did those virgins come? Why were they there? They were there. Why does a man choose women to marry? If he's not doing it for the right reason, God help him, is all I can say. And that's nothing against you women. You women are awesome. I'm telling you, y'all really are. I love y'all. Where would we be without you sisters? But, brothers and sisters, you go and read the account of Jacob when he had Leah and he had Rachel and he had the handmaids. I'm telling you what, that was a hot mess. Amen. I mean, confused as a football bat in that house. That was a mess. It was like a Peyton place. And you young people say Peyton place, Google it. You'll figure out what it means. All right. There were 10 wise, 10 foolish. But my friends, the kingdom of heaven was likened unto 5 wise and 5 foolish. Kingdom of heaven was likened unto 10. Why were they there? They were there because The bridegroom loved them. They were there because the bridegroom chose them. They were there because the bridegroom had already, according to the law of Moses, the law of God, he was already married to them and would have had written a writing of divorcement to put them away. But my friends, what's the difference? Those that were anticipating his coming in obedience and vigor and love, they enjoyed great fellowship and light. The others, their lamps had gone out and the door judicially was shut upon them. Are they in hell right now? God forbid, my friends. They're in heaven because the bridegroom doesn't break his promises. He doesn't break his covenant. But brothers and sisters, we've got to look from whence something has come. And if you can find the origin and you can interpret the word of God according to these unchanging doctrinal facts, that salvation is not of works, it's of grace, that salvation is not of men, but it is of God, and you can see the origin, brothers and sisters, the word of God will continue to unfold before you like a beautiful blooming flower that will never fade away. I thank y'all for your good order and attention.
Amen. I've stood before Amen. You.
We thank you for listening to today's message and invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For further information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.